right, everybody take your Bibles and turn to Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. We're going to read a few verses when you find it. We're going to start in verse 1. When you find it, please stand in honor of God's Word, if you can. Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The Bible says, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, whose height was 80 cubits, and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set it upon a plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And Nebuchadnezzar the king sent to gather together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the province were gathered together under the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, and psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and who's fallen not down, and whoso falleth not down and worship the same, or worship shall the same hour be cast in the midst of the burning furnace." Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and the kinds of music, all the people and the nations and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to learn from your word. And once again, dear Heavenly Father, even though we have the absence of our pastor, we are needy people. And dear Heavenly Father, we need to hear from you tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you use your word the way you see fit. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to accomplish your goals and your tasks for tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you just take full control of the service tonight. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to talk tonight about men on fire. Men on fire. You know, I'd say a lot of us know the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the story about Nebuchadnezzar making the golden image. And here's the thing is that if you read on in the story, you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They decided that they were not going to bow. And it angered Nebuchadnezzar. He heated up the furnace 7 times hotter. And the Bible says that after he heated up the furnace, it was so hot that the men throwing them into the furnace died. And here you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar's attention was focused to the furnace, and he said, "Did we not throw 3 men in?" The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And so here's the thing is that I want to focus a little bit on the 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and kind of talk a little bit about their lives. You know, Daniel is a very interesting book of the Bible. It's one of my favorites. It's not the favorite, but it's one of my favorites because the stories in there are so spectacular. And stories like this remind us about how what a powerful God we serve. And I tell you what, if you walk with God and if I walk with God, we learn the very same thing. We're never disappointed in putting our trust in God. But here you have 3 men, Nebuchadnezzar has placed this golden idol, and that's about what it was. Can you imagine how big and how awesome this thing must have looked? The fact that so many people could gather together, and I can just see everybody gathered together, and everybody's pointing, and hey, it looks a little bit like Brother Watson. No, just joking. Now's my chance to get back at him for the game. He was sitting behind me, I love Brother Watson. So here's the thing is that imagine this thing, and hey, look, you can see up its nose. The thing about it is this, they're all gathered together, and then all of a sudden this messenger comes out and says, "Hey, listen, when you hear the music, you're going to bow." Can you imagine the emotions going through Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Maybe, I don't know, maybe they're as cool as a cucumber and thinking, yeah, right. I don't know. Here's the thing is, I don't know them all that well. All we have is the biblical account of it. But I imagine this. And so the thing about it is that the herald comes out and basically they're threatening to kill him by means of this fiery furnace. And so basically the mandate was bow or burn. And basically they refused to bow. So they get, it comes to Nebuchadnezzar's attention. And basically the cool part about it is that they refuse to bow, and they kind of even insult the king a little bit in verse 12. O king, we have not regarded thee, and they serve not, or this is the people talking about, they have not regarded thee. And here's the thing, is verse 16, you see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. In other words, we didn't even have to think about it. You know what's going to happen? If you play the music again, we'll still be standing. And they go on, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. Didn't say will deliver us, says is able to deliver us. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Basically, hey, listen, God can deliver us. But you know what? If he doesn't, we're still not serving your pagan gods. Our God is still the true God. You know, the thing about it is there's several characteristics of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that I'd like to bring out tonight. And the thing about it is these are characteristics that if we are going to be successful Christians, we have to have in our lives. Number one is they were different. Verse 12. When you look at verse 12, there were certain Jews of whom thou hast set over the affairs of the providence. So they weren't dumb people. There were people of authority. There were people to be trusted of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not the gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. They were different. You know, the thing about it is most people were not going to defy King Nebuchadnezzar, because that meant their power would be removed. That meant their wealth that came along with being in charge of different things would go away. And most people were not willing to give up their comfort. They were not willing to give up their money. They were not willing to, you know what, the thing about it is that, you know what, to them it was just, you know what, it's an acceptable thing to bow before this crazy idol just so I can keep the lifestyle that I have. And the thing about it is they were different. You know, it's, I'll be honest with you, nowadays, even among the Christian realm, it's different to be righteous in a sinful world. See, the thing about it is God calls us to be the light of the world. And the thing about it is too many times Christians, we want to keep our comfort. We want to keep our wealth. We want to keep our influence. And the thing about it is we think that how we're going to do this is we're going to blend in. We're not going to be different. God is calling for men and women to be different. God is calling for men and women that he can use to point lost sinners and say, see, there's a difference between my people and the world. There's a difference between the people that call themselves Christians and the one that sin has been tearing them apart. The one that the devil has been wreaking havoc in their lives. See, you see the glow on their face? Hey, you see the joy and the peace and the love that emulates from them? The thing about it is God is looking for people that are different, not in a I'm different kind of a way, but different in the fact that, hey, they're peculiar people. So here's the thing is, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were different. Their lifestyles were different. Oh, that we as Christians would be determined to be different. The Bible talks about how when we get born again into God's family, that we're new creatures in Christ. Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verses 9 through 11, the Bible says, know ye not that the unrighteousness shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Hey, listen, the thing about it is you know what? Christians ought to be different than the world. Christians shouldn't be running around. You know, you go through that list, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, or effeminate, or abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous. You go through this list, and the thing about it is God says we're supposed to be different. And, you know, the thing about it is that verse 11 sums it all up, and it says, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed." Hey, listen, it's about time we start living as true Christians. It's about time that we start living as Christians that we're washed and we're different and we're peculiar. Why was God able to use Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to rock Babylon? Is because they were willing to be different. They were willing to stand up. It didn't matter who was pointing. It didn't matter who was criticizing them. It didn't matter who was trying to correct them. The thing about it is what they worried about was not Nebuchadnezzar. What they worried about was not their friends. What they worried about was not whether people were looking at them. What they worried about is whether or not they pleased to God. And they were willing to stake it all on that fact right there. God called us to be different. So bless God, we're going to be different. They were daring. Number two is they were daring. You look at this. Verse 16. We are not careful to answer you in a matter. You know, the thing about it is there are times where we as Christians have to take a stand. There are times when somebody attacks this book right here. I'm sorry, I don't care about your feelings. I'm going to try and put it the nicest way possible, but this book is true, and every man a liar. You can tell me that this book is not true, I will disagree. You know what? I don't care how you feel afterwards. The thing about it is unless you believe this book, you'll never get saved. Unless you believe this book, you'll never live the successful Christian life. You know, the thing about it is the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. In other words, not that I'm going around decking everybody, but the thing about it is if I'm a true friend of people, if I really care about people and if I really love them, I'm going to preach the truth out of love. I'm going to tell them what they need to hear, not necessarily what they want to hear. Because here's the thing, is the world is full of people that tell them what they want to hear. The Bible says there will come a day where they will not endure sound doctrine, but heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. That's what America is full of. That's the reason why America is in the mess that we're in. Hey, it's time that preachers across America and say, stand up behind a pulpit and say, bless God, this is the Bible. Everything in it is true. We ought to apply it to our lives. And listen, the thing about it is if I offend you because of my personality, or if I offend you because of something I've said that came from me, I apologize. I don't want to do that. But if I offend you because of this book right here, I'm sorry, you need to be offended. And if I'm offended because of this book right here, I need to be offended. And so the thing about it is you know what? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are saying, hey, listen, I don't care about your gods. They're false gods. I don't care. You know, the thing about it is there's one true God, and that's our God up in heaven. See, it's time that we as Christians take a stand. You know what? They were willing to risk position. They were willing to risk their jobs. They were willing to risk their family. And you know what? They had zeal. Why? Because they knew what the truth was. And I'll be honest with you, it's time that we get back to that. You know, too many times we take and we're so tactful that we never witness. Well, I'm sorry, if I don't offend somebody, but they die and go to hell, what good have I done? I'm worthless. If I'm so non-offensive that I can't share the gospel, I'll be honest with you, that's what God has called me to do. If I'm so tolerant of sin that we compromise with the world, the thing about it is once again, I'm useless. There are times where we will divide from friends, divide from family, divide from employers even, over this book right here. I'll be honest with you, anybody that thinks that the Bible is not a confrontational book, try and read it out in public sometime. Walk into the Christian school and decide you're going to share some with somebody else. walk into work and decide you're going to share some with somebody else. But the thing about it is here's the thing is, I can't reason them into heaven. I can't do it. It takes somebody to say, thus saith the Lord, and share them scriptures. See, the thing about it is I'll be honest with you. What's more important, a friendship or a soul in heaven? And so the thing about it is that we've got to get to the point where if we're so conservative that we make no advances for Christ, we've got issues. The walk of faith is a daring walk, and it's not for the faint of heart. It takes a Christian with a little grit in their craw that says, hey, listen, I dare to be different. And I dare to stand on the Word of God. And the thing about it is I'm not talking about walking up to people and thumping people across the head with your Bible. But at the same point in time, we need some Christians that are daring enough to say, hey, do you know 100% sure that if you were to die today, you're on your way to heaven? Or do we have enough grit in our craw to say, hey, listen, hey, you know what? This verse right here, whether I like it or not, or whether you like it or not, this verse is true. And the thing about it is stand on our convictions. You know, I'll be honest with you. I love to see a new Christian get saved. You want to know why? Because a new Christian hasn't been infected by the old Christianity doctrine. And let me explain. You get a brand new Christian that just gets saved. You know what? They don't care about anything. They're running around. They don't know enough to not run around and tell everybody that they know about Christ. I tell you what, a new Christian runs around, they drag their family in, they drag their friends in, they grab their neighbors in, and you know what? They're blessed God, they're preaching at work, and they're standing up in the break room, and you know what? They don't know enough, so to speak, to, oh, well, that's not acceptable. Thing about it is we need to get back to that zeal that we had when we were a new Christian. We need to get back. Here's the thing is God not real? The thing about it is if He is real and He is powerful, we need to get back to the zeal that says, hey, listen, I'm going to stand on God's Word. What He tells me to do, I'm going to do it. And you know what? I'm just stupid enough to believe it. And I don't care what the world has to say. I don't care what my friends, I don't even care what the folks in church have to say. If they don't like my zeal, then the thing about it is hey, I'm just worried about pleasing God. And I'm going to witness to everybody I can. I'm going to share the gospel. I'm going to try and find somebody to disciple so I can help them grow. I'm going to work in a ministry. And you know what? Bless God. The Bible says redeeming the time for the days are evil. And you know what? Hey, time's fleeting away. But the thing about it is you know what? Also, they were dedicated. They were dedicated. Verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O King. But if not, be it known unto thee. Hey, listen up to here. He's telling Nebuchadnezzar, O King, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. What are they saying? Even if you throw us in a fiery furnace, and by God's wisdom, He chooses to let us burn. Know this, we'll be praising God as we're burning. I tell you what, that's some Christianity. Oh, that we had men on fire, men and women on fire today, that would say, you know what? Hey, listen, I've been praying about something for many years. Even if He doesn't answer, God's still real. Even if He doesn't answer, God still can. And here's the thing is, I trust God to the point where He has my life. He is able to deliver us, but if He doesn't, we will still be true. I'll be honest with you. We as Christianity, and I throw myself into this, we're a bunch of milquetoast Christians. Just kind of saying it like it is. And I'm in there too. Thing about it is we go on a Wednesday night and the bus kids start acting up and we, you know, believe it or not, I know it blows your mind. They don't always listen the way they're supposed to. And you think, oh, you know, and then, you know, it's like then the next thing you know, the heater breaks and this happens. And you think, oh, my boy, am I suffering for the cause of Christ. Last I checked, I've never faced a fiery furnace. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, we get to be a little bit of a milquetoast Christian. You know what? We need a little grit in our craw, and we need to stand up and say, hey, listen, bless God. God has told me to be here. God has told me to serve. And you know what? Hey, listen, I'm going to do what God told me to do, whether He does what I think He should do or not. Listen, He may not heal my loved one, but God is still real. He may not rescue my home from foreclosure, but God is still real. He may not provide me work when I'm laid off, but God is still real. He may not save my children, but the thing about it is God is still real. You know what? I may suffer a little bit in this lifetime. I may get ridiculed at work, but hey, bless God, God is still real. And if He decides to save me or not, bless God, I will trust in Him. Tell you what, they were dedicated. Though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. Think of Job. I tell you what, we get a little bit of an affliction and think, how could God do this to me? Read Job. I don't understand what God was doing there. But you know what? My mind is about that compared to Him. And you know what? If He chose to do it, God is just. God had every right to. Just like God has every right to do whatever He wants in my life and yours. And here's the thing is, God is still just, God is still powerful, and God is still good, no matter what He does in our life. The thing about it is too many times we get a little tribulation. Too many times we get a little this, or a thorn in the flesh, or we do this or that. And the thing about it is we start whining and complaining, thinking, how could God do this to me? How could God this? Hey, listen, we need to get back. We need to learn from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, hey, bless God. No matter what He does, God is still good. No matter if He decides to save me from it or not, hey, bless God, though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. Thing about it is I'll be honest with you, too many times we get to the point where I've seen many people, and I pray to God that this one day is not me, where we get a little affliction, and next thing you know, people start hitting the road. It goes back to that milquetoast Christianity. I'll be honest with you, I've been in church many years, and it's not anything I've done. It's good parenting on my parents' behalf. Or my parents' behalf. But the thing about it is that I've seen people walk out of church for the silliest things. Leave Christianity altogether. Like I said this morning, there was one lady. My pastor growing up, it's kind of funny that I have a colorblind pastor now, because my pastor growing up, he didn't say it a lot, but he was colorblind. And his favorite color was baby blue. So every building in the whole complex was baby blue. And the thing about it is that there was this one lady, they were about ready to build a new building, and there was this one lady that decided, this building needs to be something, anything other than baby blue. And the thing about it is they had tons of paint, the deacons had decided, and it had gone to a vote and the whole thing, and you know what, it was baby blue. Well, she ran around and she's like, hey, listen, you know, and she stirred up, and about five families left the church over the color of the paint on the outside. I'll be honest with you, milquetoast Christianity. Now, the thing about it is that I'll be honest with you. I like what Pastor says, that basically when our church votes, a lot of people have prayed on it, and as far as we're concerned, that's God's will. And but the thing about it is not everybody believes that. And I remember I was talking to Josh. He's a preacher's kid, and he was telling me some reasons that people would split churches. Now the thing about it is where's the Christianity that says, yet though He slay me, yet will I trust Him? Where is that Christianity nowadays? Where's the Christianity that's willing to stand for right? Where's the Christianity that says, hey, bless God, the most important thing is to see souls saved and lives changed? Where is it nowadays? I'll be honest with you. We're too concerned with my comfort, or you know what I want, or we're too concerned with the fact that my comfort I can't step out of my comfort level, and you know what, I can't go pass out a tract to somebody. What happens if they reject me? I'll be honest with you. What happens if Christ said, hey, listen, they're going to reject me. I don't think I'm going to the cross. Here's the thing is, Christ paid the ultimate sacrifice. Why should we not? What makes us think that we shouldn't give the ultimate sacrifice back to Christ? And so the thing about it is that we've got to get back to being dedicated. Being dedicated. Having the mind of Christ. What is the most important to Christ? That should be what's most important to me. And the thing about it is that, you know what? We should get back to the Christ-like thinking. And then lastly, we see the deliverance. Verse 25, the Bible says, "And he answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High." Boy, did he change his tune. "Come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the midst of the fire. Here's the thing is, you know what? King Nebuchadnezzar saw that day who was the true God. And you know what it was? Three men decided that they were going to be different. They decided they were going to be daring. And they decided they were going to be dedicated. Three men that said, you know what? Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I'll be honest with you. If they would have tried to be politically correct, if they would have tried to not hurt anybody's feelings, if they would have tried to dance around the subject, well, you know what? I won't bow, but maybe I'll take a knee. You know what? I won't bow, but maybe I'll just kind of act like I'm tying my shoe. Or you know what? I won't bow, but I, you know what? I don't want to stand out and I don't want to be a part. No, the thing about it is you know what? Nebuchadnezzar saw who the real God was because three men dared to be on fire for God. Three men dared to say, you know what? I will be different. Three men dared to say, God has put me on this earth for a purpose. And bless God, I want to fulfill the purpose that He has for me. And the thing about it is that, listen, they saw some incredible things. How many people can say, I walked around in a furnace with Jesus. I walked, the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. Hey, listen, think about it is how many people can say that they've been there? You know what? I'll be honest with you. Had they not dared to be different, had they not dared to be on fire, think about it is they would never have seen God do a miraculous work. But the thing about it is, you know what? We've got, if we want God to work in our community, if we want God to work in Bucyrus, if we want God to work in this church, then hey, we have to dare to be different. We have to dare to show the love of Christ. We have to dare to be bold witnesses for Him. We've got to dare to do what God tells us to do. We've got to dare to be sold out. We've got to dare to have a purpose and decide that, you know what? Hey, listen, I don't care what the world says. I dare to be dedicated to God, and you know what? I dare that my whole life is in His hands. And though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. When we get to the same attitude that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego have, you know what? Great things will happen. The world will get rocked for Christ. The thing about it is too many times we, and I'll be honest with you, I'm in there too, we get to the point where we aren't as dedicated as we should be. We're not as different as we should be. We're not as daring as we should be. The thing about it is we get self-conscious and we fail to see that God is everything. And that the only part I am is I'm a servant and I'm a messenger for Christ. It matters little about the messenger. It matters everything about the message. Thing about it is you know what? I can get up here and preach till I'm blue in the face. If I don't have the message that God gave me, I'm wasting everybody's time. And the thing about it is I might as well go and flip burgers at McDonald's instead of being a preacher. But the thing about it is when I get up and you know what? It has nothing to do with me. But when I get up and say, "Thus saith the Lord," listen, the message has the power because they are the words of God and God is a very powerful God. But listen, when we as a people decide that we're going to be different and we're going to be daring and we're going to be dedicated, God always does something. Now, it may not always be what we think God should do. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thought. I don't know if they thought that they'd be delivered. I don't know if they expected Nebuchadnezzar to say, "Really? You won't bow? All right, well, you're excluded." I don't know what they thought. Too many of us think that God won't take us through the trial. He'll just take us around it. Then we scratch our head and wonder, why'd you do this, God? But here's the thing is, God took him through the fire. You know what? The Bible says that they weren't harmed in any way. When you read the Bible, walking in the midst of the fire, and they had no hurt. Keep in mind that this was a miracle, because the people that threw them into the fire died. And here they are walking around with no hurt whatsoever, walking around in the furnace, and the form of the fourth was like the Son of God. Here's the thing is, tonight, God is looking for men and women, boys and girls, who dare to be on fire. On fire for God, completely sold out. The thing about it is the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. You look at it, half-hearted Christianity won't cut it. If you or I decide that we're going to dabble in Christianity, we're never going to see God work. If we decide that we're going to be politically correct and we're going to be so tactful that we don't offend anybody, and we're so tolerant of sin you know what? Here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you, sin is sin, whether it's in my life or yours. And the thing about it is it doesn't mean that we beat somebody over the head. God has a restoring process in place for that. But the thing about it is we shouldn't back down to it. I've seen too many Christians, good, godly Christians that believe God, that were tolerant of it, explained it away, and next thing you know, they started compromising in their own life because they got too close to it, they justified it too long, and all of a sudden, they got away from the mind of Christ. Sin wasn't so bad anymore. God is looking for an individual and a church that says, I dare to be on fire. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this passage. Thank you so much for these three examples that you chose to put in your word. I believe you put them there for a reason. I believe that part of that reason is to challenge us. Heavenly Father, I'll be honest with you, as I look at my own life, much less around Christianity as a whole, I see that we've wandered from this. The caliber and the grit and the craw that once was there in America is just kind of has some remnants here and there anymore. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us in this room to decide that it's no longer going to be a rarity that we find a Christian that's on fire. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us all to draw a circle around ourselves and decide that it's going to start with me, and I'm going to be the kind of Christian that you want me to be. One that's dedicated, one that's sold out, one that dares to be different. Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to make a decision tonight the way you see fit. In Jesus' name, amen.